where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Diana Bonwick on the show today. She is an elemental alchemist and a divine feminine business mentor. And I met her a little while ago now, and I remember just sitting there in complete awe. And I feel like, Diana, that was probably you in your wise woman, because I felt like you were this incredible beacon of wisdom that I could learn so much from. And so I'm like incredibly thrilled to have you on the show and to be able to talk about harnessing the forces of nature for our lives and really working in combination with that. Thank you so much for being on the show, my love.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Kiara.
So good. I love having conversations like this because I get to call it work, apparently, and I get to ask really cool questions of really cool people. So it is awesome, my love. Thank you.
Thank you for offering this. This is such an amazing idea.
My pleasure. Really, it is.
My point of view, when I met you, like, mm-hmm. I am just blown away at the dynamo that you are and the light and the maturity that you bring to your life. You know, young in body but ancient in spirit, is just mind-boggling. So, yeah, totally in awe of you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. I think I might use that young in body but ancient in spirit on my website. That was awesome.
I think it's true.
Thank you, gorgeous. Oh my gosh, you can feel this podcast is already starting with so much love, which is really cool. So can I ask you, my love, you talked before about it's almost 30 years since you've moved to Australia. And you moved and you spent time in Uluru. Can you tell us about that? Was that the start of your spiritual journey, or had it begun before then?
Look, I believe I've been on a spiritual journey probably for lifetimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is when I really connected to the divine feminine without knowing it, because no one spoke about the divine feminine 30 years ago. Mm. That wasn't something that was talked about. But what happened for me was I was growing up in Germany. It's much more crowded there, and most people don't live in beautiful houses. They grow up in apartments because of the population that we have. Mm. And so I always felt like I grew up in a shoebox. Mm. And my whole life I was yearning to be with nature. And I had visions of one day living in a large country with lots of nature. Mm. And so I was talking about this my whole growing up time. You know, I was planning, you know, how to get out. How can I leave this place, and where will I find this place where I'm meant to be? And so I was very aware early in my life to learn languages and to be aware of that. Little did I know that it was Australia, because Australia also wasn't talked about back then at all. I thought maybe Canada, but so anyway, so what happened for me was I dropped in on a friend and I said, look, I'm going to go away for half a year. I'm not quite sure where to go, maybe Canada. And then she said, well, you know, when I finish study, I'm going to go to Australia. I'm going, Australia? Tell me more.
What do they do there? Hop around on kangaroos?
There was only three things I knew about Australia. It was big, it was hot, and it had kangaroos. And so her family had family friends who had migrated to Australia. So she had heard lots of stories when they come back to visit. And so on my way home, I dropped into a travel agency. Everything was offline, of course. Internet didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you have any information on Australia? And they went, oh, yep, here's a magazine. And I looked at it and I went, yep, that's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So literally 6 weeks later, I landed in Sydney with my heavy backpack. And I just followed my nose. So I just ended up going north, and then I ended up going to Darwin and down through the center of Australia, and all around the coast, went to Adelaide and decided to go back into the center, into the desert. And what happened to me was, when I went to the desert and I was just on that sacred ground, to me, this is really sacred ground. Like the prayers, the dances, the drumming that's been put into that earth for thousands of years by Aboriginals is just so potent, so powerful. And when I again entered the desert and I was on that red sand and there was just hundreds of miles of emptiness, my heart just kind of blew open. It was like Mother Earth was just coming right through me and opened me right up. And I went, oh my God, if anything's God, this has got to be it.
Wow.
That was like this, like just amazing experience. And then I had this prayer immediately. I want to find a way to feel like this all the time. That was my wish. And so, like, as life goes, it's taken me through many roads, and I ended up living on 10 acres of bush for like 10 years, not seeing any neighbors, just being surrounded by trees.
10 years,
yeah. Meditating hours a day, yoga, just really melting into the bush. That's what was happening for me. It's like at the end of it, I thought I was a tree. And I was deeply communicating with Mother Earth, and you know, really old wisdom started to awaken. I had some glimpses of other lifetimes as an American Indian woman. And it was just, it was, for me, it was an amazingly blissful, joyful, deeply healing time of my life. And so when I moved away from that, that's when I went, what am I going to do with this? And that's when I began to then really everything that I have experienced and used, I started to bring together and create Elemental Woman. So that's kind of how it came about for me. So it literally came from within me of just living submerged in nature, feeling it, not reading it from textbooks, not studying other teachers, but actually being it, living it, feeling it, communicating with it. That's what happened. And so that's why it's so alive for me.
Okay, because I want to go back to that 10 years in the bush right now. Because as you can see, I grew up in the time where we've had, like, there was MySpace and now there's Facebook. Like, we're constantly connected. Mm-hmm. So it's really tricky for me. And I honestly don't really like that very much. I find that once I finish work, I switch off. And even my friends don't hear from me until the next day when I switch back on.
Yeah. It's
so connected. And it's like my energy can't withstand that amount of connection all the time. But you lived like... Was it alone in the bush for 10 years?
No, I lived with my family. But actually my two daughters, I already had a son. But I lived on another property surrounded by bush before that. That's where my son was born, on that block of land.
Wow.
Here, our daughters were born on that block of land in that house that we designed and built. And they're, so they were home birth, they were homeschooled. It's just... like everything was happening at home. We were working from home. We basically created our own lifestyle and sanctuary. So people came to us versus us going out. The way we lived at that point. And yes, I didn't watch TV. I still don't watch TV, actually. I never know what's on that thing.
Yeah.
No radio, obviously no mobile phone. That came right at the end of that period. We had a landline. Mm-hmm. That was kind of our connection.
Okay, we had a landline, sure. So what did you actually do? I mean, you said you meditated and did yoga. And I've heard, like, yeah, that you thought you were a tree, like you had birds come and land on you sometimes, you know. I just would love a glimpse of what that actually felt like. Mm. What was that like?
Oh, look, I would be sitting at the kitchen table every morning and I would look out at the bush and I would go, I'm in paradise. I would small things would put me into instant rapture and bliss. Like I would look out on the leaves on the tree and after the rain, how they would glisten and glitter. and how the wind would just slightly move them, and I'd be just like, there'd be these bubbles moving right through my entire body just watching that.
Wow.
This is how it was. And so what was, you know, I'm also an artist, so I created a lot of sacred art back then. I was painting, I was creating sculptures, I was throwing beautiful things on the pottery wheel. So I was kind of in that space of divine communion, moving in and out of it constantly and just creating amazing stuff. And of course the girls grew up like that. So they, you know, we'd be with a clay on the table and they'd be getting their hands dirty and getting their paints out. And
wow. Yeah. It's just, it's different. It's so beautiful. And I feel like that to me is such divine feminine energy, just witnessing and being in awe of the beauty around you.
Yeah.
I just yesterday had a session with an intuitive guide, and she ended up channeling the Magdalene while she was in session with me, which is amazing. It's profound. And she said that I, like the Magdalene energy said that I have been attempting to find fun, like it was something that I had to do. Like I've been focusing more on bringing more pleasure into my life because I think I worked a little hard last year. And she said that I don't need to, it's all here. I just need to notice it. And this morning I went on a walk and I felt like I heard the birds like chirping more. I saw like rabbits cross in front of me and it just felt like everything around me was more alive. And so like divinely timed that you're telling me about that right now. So beautiful.
Yeah, it is so true. And it is the small things, you know, it's those small things that just can open you up in an absolute instant. Mm. And to be open to it, you know, like for example, you know, I had my yoga practice, which back then was quite purist. But that one morning I went out to the goat paddock in the morning. We had goats and we were actually milking some of them as well. So I went out to the goat paddock to do some yoga and they all were around me. And I noticed this beautiful wattle tree on the tree next to me. And I began talking to the little wild wattle bird. And I kept saying, I really, really love you. I love you. And I went into this mantra of, I love you so much. I love you so much. And the bird began to respond and she lifted her wings up and then she lifted her wings up again. And then she lifted them up again and she actually lifted up and landed on my head. She came straight over and just landed on my head. Then she came down on my shoulder and she tried to come around and kiss me on my mouth. And I was like completely overwhelmed with joy. And I'm like, that is amazing. So I thought, I really want to introduce her to, particularly to the girls. So I went back to the house, which was a considerable distance. And the bird flew between bush back to my head, the next bush back to my head, the next bush back to my head, followed me right to the kitchen door where we had double French doors. Mm-hmm. And we had an umbrella right at the door. It landed on the umbrella and I went inside. I said, you've got to come out. I've got a new friend. And she sat there and followed me with her head in. And the minute we came out, she landed back on my head again. And I introduced her to the rest of the family.
Wow.
You know? It's so simple, you know. It's not the complicated stuff that brings us to life. It's those beautiful, simple, present moments where we totally one with the experience, with the bird, with the tree, with the what is here right now, that we can have this just joy flowing through us. Constantly.
So why don't we always, like, why is it that if I saw that bird, and I feel like I've done a lot of work, but when I look at the bird, I would be like, oh, that's so beautiful. And then there'd be like this call back to do something else that's more productive almost. And even if that's just continuing walking, and I feel like I'm not alone in that. Why is it that it's so hard sometimes, it feels so hard just to be present to what is around us?
I think we are conditioned to always seek another thing. You know, like I'm always interested at the fact when you do go to a town and you go to shops, there's always music pumping. Even when I fill up with petrol now, there's a TV on, there's ads on. It's like the world's designed to pull us out of ourselves constantly and be distracted by one thing and another. And also, I mean, we are living in a very masculine world, and not even in a balanced masculine world, like in a default masculine. So, which means we think it's really important to always have goals and achieve goals and always move from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another. Whereas often, and I know you know that because I've seen it in your posts as well, you practice that, you know, there's times for in-breath. There's times to sit and feel and dream and rest. And what happens in those moments is profound. And then when the action phase comes, it happens really fast because you've had that pause and in-breath first.
Actually, yeah, I can see that, because last year, although I feel like I worked really hard, I feel like I worked really hard internally a lot. I did a lot of healing and clearing and releasing fears. And this year, as soon as we stepped into this year, it's like everything has just happened that I've always wanted to happen. It's been so big. And I feel like that's that, when you're connected internally and you're connected to the divine, then things can happen in what looks like a magical way, but that's kind of the nature of our entire reality, really.
I think that's really true. And at the same time, we do have many layers of compensation, protection, and resistance within us to keep us safe. So, I know you're very aware of that too. And it's like, you know, we have those fears and layers of protection, and there's a part of us that doesn't dare to step out. Whereas when you look at a young child, if a young child's been loved and given freedom, they'll always want to learn and explore. There's no holding back. They just don't hold back. So we're actually, through the school system, the way we've been brought up, the way the society runs, we shut that nature down very, very early in life. And it's almost like we don't trust that this child knows intuitively herself or himself how to grow, how to discover, how to explore, how to learn. And we force the system onto them that kind of shuts a lot of that natural knowing down. And then later in life, in a way, we have to undo those bits. Because I think our nature is always inquisitive, ready to learn, to try new things, to explore things. You know, that's a beautiful thing when you hang out with small children. You know, everything's magical. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
I leave a rock, a fallen off wheel. Everything's like, whoa. And then you watch them, what they do with it. And they have so many ideas how to use that thing with, you know, what to do with it, which we have lost to a great deal, you know. So it's like going back to that childlike nature in some ways, you know.
I hear you. Okay, so like, there's still so much I want to ask you. The elemental woman stuff. So I feel like I hear that connecting to nature can help us to slow down and to appreciate so much more the beauty that is already here. And with the work that you do in Elemental Woman, and I'm sure that the men listening will still find that connection to nature helpful as well, and I'm sure you'll talk for both of them. But where do you start? So we've got all of this conditioning and we're disconnected from nature and we've been taught all of these different things. What are some of the things that you find to be the most important to talk about with your clients?
Being present right now, I think, is the most important thing. Because when we are present right now with what is, and we make time for that, there's a medicine that comes with that. So for example, and you know that, whenever we've got a dream, particularly if it's a big dream, we go, yes, I'm going to do that. And a moment later, all the resistance comes up and the fears that have held you back ever realizing that dream. So if you're not present, you will just distract yourself in depending on what your default patterns are to move away from that dream. Mm. And next time your friend will see you and say, hey, how's your dream going? Oh, I don't actually feel like doing that anymore.
Mm.
And it is because, you know, if we're present in that moment and we are aware of the fears that are coming up in that moment or the resistance or the whatever it is, we can just feel that without acting on it, without letting it stop us and taking us into a direction that actually we really don't want to go. It's old habits that want to take us there, but it's not really our divine calling that's take us there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think being present is, to me, being fully present in our body, aware in our body, not just in our mind connected to spirit, but actually in our body, in our temple. So we notice when the heart shuts down, the shoulders get tight, the neck tightens up, the lower back begins to ache. You know, when we're beginning to shut down, we're aware of it because it's in that moment when there's a change that you can most easily dance with it and just go, breathe it, move through it. If you're not aware in that moment, suddenly everything comes shutting you down and holding you tight down, and then to get out and move forward is much harder.
Mm.
Then you've got all your protective mechanisms right there.
Yes, I hear you. I read The Untethered Soul recently, and that was really good at explaining that. Mm. And so I've been working on that as well. So if something comes up and I can feel my chest tighten, which is cool because like 3 years ago, I couldn't feel my chest at all. So like I couldn't feel my heart. So now I notice it and I know if it tightens. And I know that if I breathe through that in that moment, and instead of, it's like, there's a river and the river can take me. The river is my head and the river is like, you're right. That is a stupid idea. Or he is mean to you. Or like, especially about my partner, that river comes up. And then it comes up and I can choose to step into that. And once I've stepped into that, if I choose to like lose myself in these thoughts, it's like I have to let the current run before I can come back out.
Yes, it's true. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I know when my puppy passed away last year, that I was in a lot of pain and I didn't even know it. It wasn't even there, right? Like at the top a few weeks later. And so I got really angry at my partner, like a few times, and I was so angry, and he would be like, I love you. It's okay. It's safe. And I was like, in my head, it's okay. You could come back now. It's okay. Everything is safe. And I just couldn't. I was in what I think it's Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body,
yeah,
or Deepak Chopra, one of those. but I was in my pain body so much that I had to let that run the course. And then I would get like past that. He'd been being loving that whole time and I just couldn't come out of it. And then I would just bawl my eyes out and feel the pain that I was avoiding that whole time by getting angry in the first place.
Yes. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. But it taught, like, it's a beautiful experience. It taught me so much about that and how important it is to breathe in that first second. Otherwise you lose yourself and you come out and I'm like, I've said like nasty things and I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, that wasn't even me. Like, and he thankfully is understanding about that, but I like couldn't stop what I said or did or how much I pushed him away in those moments.
Yes. Mm. Well done. So you see, this is where the archetypes that I've created come in really, really handy as well, because they're grounded within the elements. Now nature is created in elements and so are we. And what happens is that we all have a constitutional element that we have come in or fallen into very early in life. I mean, we're created with all the elements because like nature outside, there's actually nature inside. Mm. So our body responds to the dark moon, the full moon, the winter, the summer, the different weathers. Our body responds whether we want to believe it or not, whether we have the door and the window shut tight or not. Our body resonates with what goes on outside. Mm. So that's why it's important to understand that and live by that, because we can't escape that. You know, whilst we're here on Mother Earth, we are part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is once you understand your particular archetype or element, you then also understand its default. So you begin to understand, under stress, this is what tends to happen. Mm. This is the way I shut down and protect myself. And once you know that and you're aware of that, you can dance with that. You can love that part.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go, it's okay. That's part of my nature. I don't have to fall into that part though.
Yeah, okay. So can I take a guess? So if someone is born in like a hot season, are they more likely to have like a fiery sort of energy? Is that the...
Not necessarily.
this whole theory in my head, I was like, that's why I get angry.
I mean, yeah, look, you know, the Italians tend to be a fiery nation and, you know, like it's kind of passed down from generations, and the food they eat is quite fiery and the way they interact is quite fiery. but even within them, there would be different elements that one of them would be stronger than others. So that really comes down to the early wounding in a lifetime.
Mm.
So what happens when you're growing up, the way we've been raised, what happens, what the earliest wounding is often where we end up in default for the rest of our life, and unless we are aware of it and we can work through that. What happens is, you know, I'm looking at five archetypes or five elements. So, we have wise woman, the Amazon, the goddess, the earth mother, and the alchemist. And from an elemental point of view, it would be water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. The wounding's quite different depending in where the wounding happened. So in what element did the wounding happen? That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, we then kind of entering a default. So for example, probably can guess, but my inherent element's actually fire.
Mm-hmm.
I naturally have this energy that wants to just shine out. My heart energy sort of flows out quite a lot and quite powerfully. And so I have to harness that. I have to understand that if I don't nourish my water, my fire gets empty very fast. So just understanding that, yes, on one hand, this is what I naturally want to do, and therefore I must nurture myself. I have to take time of rest, use the introverted times, the resting periods, to really build my system up, because the fire draws from the water.
Mm.
Like the tree having the roots in the water, it needs that water to then go and grow the branches.
Yeah.
Understanding that. But one of the woundings of the fire is, you know, and you look at my childhood pictures, that there's hardly a photo where I actually smile and I look happy. I was shut down really early in life. And most of the pictures, there's no light in my eyes. Fire types generally have a glimmer in their eyes. You know, they just have that sort of spark naturally because of that. They have a lot of energy around the heart.
Mm.
And so that was shut down really early in my life. And so what happened was, I didn't feel seen and noticed at all when I was growing up. And I was very different to not only the family, but the culture I was growing up in. I didn't really fit in. And if I attempted to express who I was, that was judged and not understood. And so I began to not show that anymore. And so I ended up with this desire to want to be seen and loved for who I am, but too scared to do it.
Mm.
And so in a way, I went into hiding. I started covering myself, hiding. So that's kind of one of the fire woundings. So when it then comes to professional life down the track and you're an adult, it's always going to hold you back.
Mm.
Unless you actually understand that this is the biggest fear, is to be seen and to be loved, and there's a fear of rejection.
Mm.
But it's also the biggest healing.
Yeah.
I mean, professionally, once I understood that about myself, I took that as a really good challenge. Mm. I went, yeah, it's really good for me to speak. It's good for me to have conversations with people, sales conversations and all of that, because that's the most challenging for me. So therefore, it'll be the most healing for me personally.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Like working with that. Instead of running away from it, you're going, no, this is exactly what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay, breathe through the resistance and just keep doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it gets easier.
It's like, I feel like I have this connection with the audience and I can feel them respond to stuff. And I felt them go, oh, I don't want to do that.
I know. And it's good to know when you're not supposed to be doing something because it truly isn't something you should be doing. Mm. Or if it's exactly what you should be doing in order to flip, that's how I call it, the wounding into assets.
Mm.
And you flip the wounding into, it becomes an asset in your life. And in fact, your deepest wounding is what you're here to teach and give.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you want to live a life on calling, you have got to flip your wounding into assets. You cannot, you can't run away from it. You can't put it under the carpet. You can't ignore it, put it in the cupboard and go, oh, well, that's just not me. Like I could have done that. Well, that's just not me, you know, because it brings up fear of rejection and being judged. I'm just not going to do that. Mm. It was actually the opposite. I needed to go, no, this is exactly what I need to do, because if I can open myself up and feel through that fear, then the people who are able to understand me and really see me, that will bring healing to me, because that didn't happen as a child. You know, I wasn't seen and understood. And so I needed to move through that fear because, you know, I'm pretty weird. I'm different. You know, I do things the way no one does them, you know, and I had to feel okay about that.
Mm.
So now people go, yeah, they don't go necessarily, she's weird. She goes, she's different, but she's actually on something, you know, and that brings healing to me to just, that's who I am. And if you like it, that's great. And if not, you can go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And the way that I can tell the difference between those two, like one that's actually not the right thing for me and the one that is, but it's scary, is that it's like this terrifying and liberating thing all at the same time, where you can just feel yourself expand and contract like almost simultaneously. And then the other one just feels like just a lack of energy, like, oh no, it just doesn't feel anything. That's how it feels to me.
I think that's a really a good way to describe it. Yeah, because then there's no indicator at all.
Mm.
No, it's just flat either way. So it's like, it's nothing to do with you, basically. You know, you're not meant to do it. You're not about avoiding it. It's nothing. It's just not where you need to go. But yeah, I think you're right. If there is a chart, then generally you go, okay, that's interesting. And again, we need to be present for that.
Yeah. That's
so important. So when we're present with that, you know, like I had situations where my mouth would completely dry up, you know, but I learned how to work with it. So before I speak, I always take everybody into a moment of silence, you know, and I take them just 2-3 minutes meditation. Because that helps them to arrive. It helps me to fully be here. And then all of a sudden, I'm not nervous anymore because I'm opening myself up for something else to happen, you know, for something else to move through me.
Mm.
And it's more like, in what way can I be open and receptive to serve? And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter anymore.
Mm.
I can overcome my fear. That for me, that is being seen, the fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, that has been very, very big for me in the past.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that so openly with us. I just realized I was about to go, okay, so, and we're talking about your woundings here, but thank you for sharing them with us. The fire element, is that connected to a particular archetype?
Yes. I call it the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the goddess, yeah, she's got that radiance about her and she's so yearning to share her love, her everything. She just loves to share. Mm. And she doesn't have to really do anything. She just has to be there and be herself. And people will notice her that way without trying to. She doesn't have to try anything. She just has to be who she is in that moment.
Mm, beautiful. And can you talk us through quickly the other four elements and archetypes? I'd love to know them.
So I usually take women to the wise woman first.
Mm-hmm.
The wise woman governs the water element, and it's the most neglected in our society of all the elements. Mm. It's the one that we are conditioned to avoid. If any one of them, it's always the wise woman. The wise woman is really about the deepest in-breath. It is the time for a woman when she would be menstruating. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ask women if they feel like going for a 20-kilometer run and work all day, 9 to 5, and have a dinner party at the end when they're menstruating, most women would say no way. Mm-mm. Because, you know, really how you feel is you feel very introverted. You want to rest. You want to have your feet up. You want to be nourished and nurtured. Maybe someone rubbing your back and cooking you soup. And you really want to have your eyes closed probably. And you just want to rest, absolutely just rest. Mm. And that's kind of the energy of nighttime. You know, we've forgotten how to do it because now we have electric lights, we've got computers on till late, which interferes with all of that. But just imagine we would have none of that. Mm. No electricity, no computer, no lights, all those things that keep us up late. The nighttime would be a deeply restful time because it's dark, it's quiet, it's introverted. That's the wise woman time for me. That's the wise woman time. And so everything I've created in my business, in my life, really I dream up in the wise woman. Mm. So a lot of the time I'll get up very early in the morning and I write what's right there. Because you know, like in the night, it's like this pond and you just gather the water. You gather the wisdom and you sit in it and you sleep in it. And then wake up in the morning and then you use that and just write it down. So it's how basically created entire elemental woman thing. Mm. So that's her. And so the wise woman I would be using to also really understand our wounding and then know how to flip that into assets in a way that can be used in life and in our business or with our families. Because we're so deeply inside, we're really in touch with it. Mm. So that's why the wise woman is so important. And so what happens then when we move into the Amazon phase, which would be the week after the dark moon, or it would be the week after a woman has finished menstruating, there's suddenly the energy starting to build again. It's like a spring energy after winter. You know, the earth's been sleeping and resting, and then suddenly Mother Earth wakes up. That's the Amazon time, you know. You can't stop her. She's like, go.
I haven't heard of the Amazon before. I was excited to hear what she was like. Yeah, I get that.
So now the Amazon is a real doer. Like she had, you know, she's the one that visions, that rings these people up you need, creates strategies, creates a plan. It's physicalizing the dream. Mm. But if the Amazon is not in contact with the wise woman, she's busy like hell, but she's not on course with her life. Mm. Not aligned to her calling. Because to know that, you have to be present in the wise woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can be busy as hell, but it doesn't mean you're aligned. It doesn't mean that you're actually doing what you're meant to be doing right now, or what you're meant to be doing in your life. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important. Wise woman first. And it's almost like the wise woman goes, okay, that's the dream. Amazon, now you take over and do something with it.
Yeah.
The Amazon then takes that idea and she figures out how to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then when resistances come up, Amazon's courageous. She can tap into her courage. So when the fears come up, she goes, no, that's okay. We can do it. We're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so after that, we're moving into the fire. So Amazon is wood. Mm-hmm. Then we're moving into the fire, which would be full moon or summer for a woman when she's ovulating. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, it makes sense. That's when a woman most feels like making love. That's when she feels like most connecting to others. Hormonally, she's set up to connect. You don't have to work hard at it. It's happening. Mm. And so, you know, generally around full moon, people naturally are more social. They meet more. They have parties, dinner parties. They go out more. It's just this more energy around. It's just more vitality and energy there. And so we too tend to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. And so that is a good time for anything social. It's a good time to see more clients or run workshops, do your public speaking, Just anything to do with connecting with others just comes more naturally during such a time.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's the goddess archetype. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the Earth Mother, and the Earth Mother is a very special one because we honor her as her own element, but she actually in some ways holds all of the elements. Mm-hmm. And she is like a transition element. She comes up between all of the elements in between. So, for example, you know, it's a bit like driving a car and you push the clutch down to change your gears.
Yeah. So
there is no gear.
Mm-hmm.
There's stillness. There's quiet. And then you're in the next gear and you're kind of in a different space. So Earth Mother is like that. So she's really about stillness. It's about receiving. It's about working from overflow versus depletion and push.
Mm.
Okay? It's this principle about being able to receive the life force from the earth, from the stars, from nature. Receive money. Receive love, support, help. Let it in. Not ask for it or drag it in by the hair, but actually just be present and allow it in, because life wants to bless you.
Mm.
It wants to bless you. It wants to gift you with everything you need as a soul to grow and evolve. It wants to gift you richly. You know, so we don't have to actually fight for it. You know, in some ways we do, but it's when we have resistance.
Mm.
Now, if you were to put that aside and you would be in this Earth Mother space, it's like, wow, just let it come and it comes.
Yeah, I can feel that, totally.
Mm-hmm. So that's Earth Mother, you know, so she's really important because she's holding all of the elements. We need her. Do we need that stillness between and in between phases, you know? And she's so nurturing too. So, you know, for those of you that are facilitators to tapping into the Earth Mother, it's like being held by Mother Earth. So if you can embody that, sometimes you don't have to do a lot in the room. You just have to be present with all your loving heart and hold that space.
Mm.
You don't have to try for people to transform and get that thing. If you can just hold and drop into Earth Mother, magic happens.
I like magic. I'm happy with magic. That sounds good.
Okay, magic.
Yeah, magic is good with me. Just so you know, Earth Mother, I appreciate magic. You're welcome to bring it into my life all the time.
And so the last one is the Alchemist. She governs the metal element.
Mm-hmm.
And she is also very, very important. Now, she's the one who is bringing things to a perfect end. Like when we can embody the alchemist, I call her the alchemist, she reflects over the last cycle. She goes, what's worked really well and what hasn't?
Mm.
And what hasn't gets discarded.
Mm.
No question asked. She's not a sentimentalist Earth Mother who might hold on to everything because she's loved it and nurtured it. Alchemist goes, not needed anymore, done.
Mm.
Off the table. She's quite ruthless in that department. But what happens is, you know, if you live with her, always bring her in to the end of projects and cycles, what happens is she makes sure that whatever needs to be cleaned out always gets cleaned out. So you don't drag stuff on longer than it needs to be, which means that when you again return to the wise woman dreaming around menstruation time, dark moon time, winter time, night time, if you let go of the day in late afternoon, left the business behind and the arguments or whatever, what's gone wrong on that day, you can then enter peacefully the night.
Mm.
Enter peacefully into, you know, I love going into business dreaming around dark moon. Sometimes I go away for 2 days by the water all by myself and I just drop into the water element to dream up what's there that wants to be created over this next cycle. So if I work with the alchemist who goes, that didn't work, don't even bother bringing them to the next cycle.
Mm.
But these are jewels, bring them back into the next dreaming and see what happens in the next cycle with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's beautiful because you make sure that our dreaming is always pure because we discard what must go first before we go back into the dreaming.
Wow, I love that. It's so nice. And I feel like I do probably a daily version of that. So you've talked about like monthly cycles and then also with the seasons. And I think I do something similar each day. So I have the Alchemist each night where I journal like what I learned, what I achieved, what like could be done better, things like that. Closing everything off so that I can make my sleep sacred, like I ask for guidance while I sleep, and then I wake up the next morning and collect that guidance like you talked about. So that's cool.
Yeah, because it, you know, we're nature, so actually you've just picked up on something that's naturally happening and you've dropped into it. And that's really what it's all about. It's not creating a new system. It's like an ancient system that's always been there and just going, okay, I'm going to surrender to this, what's there anyway.
Absolutely. That is incredible, Diana. I wish we had more time. I could ask you so many more questions. Like, gosh, is there anything that you want to tell us more about just before we finish up? We live like this. If we live connected to nature, like, what does it mean for us and for the world? Is there any like little last tips, anything that you want to share?
I think it's important for every person to make some time to be in nature every day. So if you are living in the city, go to the park or have a veranda with a few pot plants or bring a few pot plants into your house. And, you know, or, you know, sometimes I have bowls, fill them with water and have flowers floating in them. Just, you know, bring nature to you in even when you have a limited life, in a sense, like city life, you know. Bring the flowers in or bring the leaves in or collect the rocks or the shells and just bring it in. The other thing is, are you happy for me to talk about the Elemental Woman app?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So for me, that was the question I had when I was returning from living submerged in bush. I was going, most people will never live like this in a million years. How can I help bring that into a life that's modern and somewhat disconnected from life? So I want to share with you, I've created what's called the Elemental Woman calendar app, and it actually, on your diary, it will show you every day what archetype is present, and it will give you some suggestions of how you can use the energy of that day. So, for example, I don't know whether that shows.
I can see it here. Yeah, the people listening won't, but I can see. Thank you.
So, today it says it's the Amazon time, and it's you'll express your vision and action creatively. So then I have another little word in there going, are you resisting taking action? So every day there would be another thought associated to the energy of that day. So today I'm going, well, it's action time. Are you resisting it? No. And so that app I basically created for myself also, because if I want to plan events months in advance or for next year, you know, when right now I'm in tune what the energy is right now, but if I'm planning something that's ahead, I want to be able to use the energy that's present for then. So for example, when the wise woman comes up, a lot of my healers and artists, they then choose not to see so many clients during wise woman time, or maybe take a day off during wise woman time to replenish themselves. So if they know that's coming up, they can say, oh, actually, can I see you 3 days later instead? Yeah. Because my replenishing time, for example.
Yeah.
So it's basically an app where you can actually set appointments here. You can put the appointments in. But you can then choose what, and what element you want to have those appointments and how you want to use that energy. So that's a helpful thing for modern life.
Mm.
To adjust to that.
That's awesome. Thank you, my love. So how can they find that, and how can the people listening find you as well?
So I think the best thing is to like my Facebook page, Elemental Woman TM. So I have lots and lots of inspirations on there all the time about things that I experience in nature and how we can relate that back to life, how we can use that in life. So people absolutely love those daily reflections on what I'm experiencing when I go on my nature walks and how that reflects back, and I can use that wisdom back in my life in a practical modern day world. And the other thing is, I'm about to start a 5-week series on that group. We'll actually go live on Facebook on that page, and I will cover a archetype every week. Mm-hmm. Just so, again, people can learn more about it. They can type in questions and just get to know the archetypes a little bit more and maybe understand some of their default patterns that they might be having that holds them back.
Nice.
So that's really cool, and I love it. So because it's the base of life, really. It's how we are created. And the other one is my website, which is dianabonwick.com. So that's D-I-A-N-A and B-O-N-W-I-C-K.com. Mm. And there you can actually receive my free startup gift box, which includes three gifts. But one of them is the archetypal ebook. Again, mm-hmm. It goes more into the archetypes. And also there's links to downloading the app, depending whether it's iPhone or Android. You can then receive that through there as well, because that's a really good start.
Awesome. Thank you, my love. It has been incredible to talk to you and get to hear about your life, first of all, and then how you took what you learned from that kind of beautiful connected to nature life to bring it back into how we can actually live in this modern world, really connected to the elements and what's happening around us, and tap into nature so that we can kind of not be working against ourselves almost. That's how it feels.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. It's so, so true. Yes. Because we're nature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kiara. It was lovely. Feels like we're always sitting down to the table to have dinner together or something.
I know. I wish we were.
Have to do that soon. Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you so much for reaching out to me and connecting and for sharing. So, yeah, really appreciate that.
Thank you, my love. And thank you, everyone that's been listening to us. Thank you for coming on and listening to us each week. I would like to invite you to head over to facebook.com/aninspiredlifewithkiara, Kiara with a K. And if you have a question for Diana and I about nature and how we can be connected with it, or maybe you want to tell us what you guess is your element and your archetype and have a conversation around it, we would love to be able to have that conversation with you. Sometimes the questions that we ask afterwards can be some of the most powerful things. So please head over to Facebook and have that conversation where you see Diana's face and name. And thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for caring enough about yourself and about the world to have these kind of conversations. Really, honestly, it's different in this world and it's really cool. So thank you. And if you would like to give us a review over at iTunes, I would be so grateful. Most of my listeners happen to not be on iTunes. So if you are on iTunes and you like the podcast, please go over and give us a 5-star rating and a review so that other people can see that this podcast is super cool as it is, and let them know what's worth listening to about it. So thank you. Thank you for listening. And Diana, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so grateful.
Beautiful. Thank you for the time. That's lovely. Thanks. Bye for now.
Bye.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.